Please turn with me to the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 21. And we're going to be reading from verse 15. It's page 1090 if you're following in the Pew Bibles. So John's Gospel, chapter 21, and reading from verse 15. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And may God bless his word to us. So we come to the end of our series in John's Gospel. Over the past year, we've divided it into two with a little break in Easter. We've looked at the signs of life in the first half of the Gospel. And then latterly, we've been looking at signs of glory. Here today, we have a fresh commissioning of Peter to feed and to follow. And that's really what I want to focus on today. I want to speak about feeding and following. As in all the best films, in this last little section, we find that it ends on a positive note. Not quite a joyful note, but certainly a positive note, and it does have some challenges. You know, I love the fact that Peter is so prominent in our Bibles. At times he is rash, at times he speaks without filtering it through, being careful what he's saying. And he often makes mistakes, but he's, in other words, a bit like you and me, an ordinary, imperfect human being, but yet one that Jesus will use in his kingdom. And the same is true for you and for me. Last week, Rowan led us through the first bit of John 21. We saw that Peter was first out of the boat as he realized that the risen Jesus was standing on the shore. A fire is burning with some fish on it. Jesus has prepared a fire for breakfast on the beach. And here would be a great scene of restoration for Peter. The last time we read about a fire was back in chapter 18, almost a week ago, when Jesus was being tried by the high priest, and as he stood warming himself by the fire, quite a number of people came to him and said, "You're one of his disciples, aren't you?" And Peter said, "No, I'm not." And indeed, even with a curse, he denied that he knew Jesus Christ or Jesus of Nazareth. And so whenever we come and we read here that there's a fire on the beach and Jesus and Peter are going to be standing at this fire, we immediately are taken back to that scene. A few chapters before that, in chapter 13, verses 37 and 38, Peter had declared lifelong faithfulness to Jesus. He said he would lay down his life for Jesus, and yet, not too long afterwards, he was denying him three times. So Jesus brings Peter back to a fire, not a little painfully, but it would lead to a renewal, a fresh commissioning to ministry. Jesus would use this broken vessel to be one of the main leaders of the fledgling church. Earlier in the gospel, Jesus had indicated a major role for Peter. You may remember when Jesus said to Peter, "You are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church." Ian Duggood comments this. He says, "Ministry is the service of healed men and women who understand their personal histories and their personal handicaps. They understand them well. And they've made their brokenness transparent before God and been forgiven as well as transformed by the Spirit of God." When we make mistakes and let people down, or God down, or both, we can be tempted to say, "God cannot use me anymore. I've been a failure. I've made so many mistakes in my life. Even as a Christian, I've let people down. I've let God down. God has finished with me." But what God does is he asks us to draw a chair up to the fire and to have a chat. He may not even have to say very much, but the Lord Jesus looks at us with eyes of love. We see our sin. We've been living with it for a while. Peter would have been living with it, I'm sure. His letting down of Jesus, his denial of Jesus, was running around and around and around his mind. You know the way it happens. But here is a chance for repentance and confession and restoration. And Peter will be strengthened through this experience. He will become an even better leader, a better minister, a better follower. And so Jesus gently asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" The first time he asks it, he says, "Do you love me more than these?" And commentators have wondered, what are the these? When Jesus said, "Do you love me more than these?" What did Jesus mean? Did he mean, "Do you love me more than these things that represent your livelihood, the boats, the fishing nets? Do you love me more than these, your work? Or do you love me more than you love these other disciples, Peter?" Or thirdly, he could mean, "Peter, do you love me more than these disciples love me? Because you have declared your love. You've declared that you'll die for me." We're not sure which of these three it is. Maybe it's all three. And that's quite challenging, isn't it? Do you love me? And we're very sure that this three times question in different forms is taking Peter back to the three denials. Jesus is pressing on a sore point, but reflecting on this, perhaps it was because he had such a key role for Peter. "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, traditionally and historically, the Roman Catholic Church has placed a lot of weight upon this and has said that Peter was kind of the first to hold a papal office. There was an apostolic succession that goes all the way through the popes today. And we would say, no, that's not true. That's reading too much into this. But neither should we underplay the role that Peter had in the church. Probably alongside Paul, Peter was one of the main influencers and shapers and pillars of the church. The probably four main pillars were Paul and Peter, John, who wrote this gospel, and James. So Peter would have a massive influence. He himself would write a couple of letters that would help form the New Testament canon of Scripture. So as a leader, he was called to tend and nurture the sheep and influence the flock of Christ. And that is why Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." But although Peter was a key player, all of us who are followers of Jesus need to face this question as well. Do you love me? Because over the years, what can happen is that our love for Jesus can grow cold. Our love for Jesus can drift. And we find that other things come in. We love our hobbies more than Jesus. We love our work more than Jesus. More challengingly, do we love our friends and our family more than Jesus? Jesus says today to us, "Do you love me?" These are challenging questions. And they take us back to the question of the costliness of discipleship. It's not easy following Jesus, but it's worth it. Other things can crowd in. The world, the flesh, and the devil comes into our hearts. So if I ask you today, do you love Jesus on a scale of 1 to 10, where is that love? For those of us who are maybe a bit older, how is our love today compared to when we first came to faith, when we first said, "Jesus is Lord"? So today we do inventory of our souls. Jesus asked the question of us as he asked the question of Peter, "Do you love me?" You know, this chapter, the whole of the chapter, is a very good summary of what it means to be a Christian and to be a vital part of a church. Fishing, feeding, and following. We know Jesus often used the analogy of being fishers of men and women. He says, "I'm calling you to fish, to catch people, to bring them into the kingdom of God." How are we doing in the fishing? Are we thinking of people over the year that we can invite to Cafe Explore or maybe to Alpha? How are we doing in the fishing department? How are we doing in the feeding department? Yes, you're here today. You're being fed the Word of God, but being fed on a Sunday is really not sufficient. You need to be feeding yourself Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In terms of our food, the ordinary food that we eat, we don't just eat once a week. We eat daily, and Jesus would say to us, keep feeding yourself, and then you can feed others as well. Now, maybe a few of us are overall shepherds like elders or ministers, but each of us can play a part in feeding ourselves and feeding others and helping them to understand more of what it is to be someone who says, "Jesus is Lord." Are we fishing? Are we feeding? Are we following? The Bible often likens the church to a flock of sheep. Most famously, we have the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." But in other places, like Isaiah and Ezekiel, God also uses this analogy of shepherds and sheep. And then in John chapter 10, we have Jesus describing himself as the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 7. "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and they will find pasture. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, and there shall be one shepherd." As Christians, we are like sheep. Jesus lived in an agricultural, a rural community. But he recognized that sheep sometimes would wander, sheep would go astray, sheep would get lost. And that is very much the case in terms of our Christian lives and churches. Over the years, as minister of various churches, I have seen the sheep wandering, I've seen the sheep getting lost, going astray. And it's a tragic thing. And sometimes when we go after the sheep and encourage them to return to the fold, they say no. They prefer the life that is outside the flock. Today, as we come to the conclusion of John's Gospel, it's a good day to do inventory of our souls. Am I loving Jesus? Am I fishing? Am I feeding? Am I following? And note that in our following, Jesus says to Peter, I want you to follow me. And he's very concerned about another disciple he sees over Jesus' shoulder, who's John, who wrote this gospel. He says, what about him? I'll follow you, but what about him? And Jesus says, don't worry about him. You follow me. He calls Peter to be Peter. He has a role for Peter. He calls John to be John. He has a role for John. I love that little quip from Oscar Wilde, who once said, you just need to be you. Everyone else is taken. You just need to be you. Jesus has a plan for you. Sometimes we are very concerned about other people rather than our following, but we are called primarily to follow Christ ourselves and then to help others, yes. But God has a plan for us. And so we are to stay in our lanes in the great race that is set before us. Jesus has your lane marked out for you. He doesn't want you to wander into someone else's lane. He says, this is your lane. Stay in it. This is my plan. This is my purpose. This is my calling to you, Peter, or whoever. God has given you certain gifts and talents, and he has a plan and purpose for you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are called to be a faithful and an obedient follower. So stay in your lane and keep running the race right to the very end. And so this was the main commission to Peter: fishing, feeding, and following. And your following, Peter, may look different from the following of John, says Jesus. I want you to keep your eyes on me. And that would probably have taken Peter back to another event, another incident where Peter was walking on the water to go and see Jesus, but it was when he lifted his eyes from Jesus and went down, looked around the context and the circumstances that he began to falter and to fail. Peter, keep your eyes on me. Keep running the race to me and for me. And Peter would do that. And Peter would continue to make mistakes, and we read about mistakes that Peter continued to make in Acts. But he was a very strong and a very good influence in the church. Tradition has it that Peter was martyred. Indeed, he may have been crucified. We're not particularly sure on that, but certainly he was martyred for his faith. He did not elevate himself above others. He knew he had this important role, but he was humble. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, he writes this: to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. We're to be fishing, we're to be feeding, we're to be following. As we close off on John's Gospel, we're reminded how wonderful a Savior we have. Verse 25. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And we never tire of reading about what Jesus has done. He's our Savior, he's our shepherd, he's our friend, and he's our King. We remember every day, as John Newton once said, I remember two things. I am a great sinner, and Jesus is a great Savior. Let's pray. Lord, as we finish off this Gospel of John, as we hear about the fresh commissioning of Peter the Apostle, we thank you, Lord, that you're a God who forgives us when we make mistakes, a God who loves to use us for your glory in the service of your church and kingdom. And we pray for any this morning, perhaps they have a failure in their lives, a mistake, even a sin. And maybe they feel, I'm finished. The Lord cannot use me. I pray today that they would recognize that they can be used. The Lord just says, look at me. Do you love me? Follow me. And so we pray today that we would have that sense of confession and recommissioning to fish, to feed, and to follow. For there is no one worth following more than Jesus. The one who laid down his life for the sheep. And so we bless you and thank you for your amazing grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.